Zelia Efron is a best-selling author and screenwriter. Her movies, many done in collaboration with her sister Nora Efron, include The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and You've Got Mail. Delia grew up in Beverly Hills. While attending and graduating from Barnard, she fell in love with New York City. Her first attempt at writing was entitled How to Eat Like a Child, 500 Words About Children and Food, which was published in the New York Times Magazine. The article became a best-selling book. Next, Delia became a contributing editor at New York Magazine. Then she met and married screenwriter-playwright Jerome Cass. They moved back to L.A., lived there for many years, but ultimately moved back to Manhattan. Today, we'll speak with Delia about her new book, Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog. Welcome, Delia. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the Book Report.
Thank you so much.
Okay, first an obvious question. Why the title Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog?
Well, those are my major food groups. I started it, this book, just about a few months after Nora died, and I was so confused at that time and lost, and because we were, of course, not just sisters, but writers and collaborators, and we'd worked together on movies, and we borrowed lines the way other sisters borrowed dresses, mm-hmm. and our lives are so fused in so many ways, and I would go into my office every day around 4, and I would write about just our sisterhood and losing her and what that was about, and it was just, and then the next thing I knew, I was writing about my husband and then my dog and my whatever, right?
Right.
I think I began to really reconsider the things that mattered to me and also, yeah, funny things about my past. I mean, there's a chapter, one of my favorites, which is called Blame It on the Movies, and it's about how my 20s were just one complete disaster, and I blame it all on this movie I saw when I was 10 called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw that, but
yes.
It was a singing and dancing romantic comedy. And afterwards, even though my mother was saying, you know, career, 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 right, all I wanted to do was move to the backwoods and marry a wild man and make flapjacks. and so I really wanted to talk about how about my 20s and how I just went on a walkabout.
Right. Well, in your first essay, Losing Nora, you wrote, there are things a person does that you could talk about forever. They are the key. They reveal character. They unlock secrets. I love that passage and agree. Could you share one of those moments about Nora?
Well, it was for me that when my sister was in the hospital in the last weeks, she and I was there with her every day. When I got home one night, she had sent me 24 roses.
Mm.
And, you know, the sister in the hospital sending roses to the sister who is not in the hospital. And with Nora, that was just key to me. That, I mean, she was, first of all, she was so hard for her, I think, to be ill and to be needing care. And so not only was this a gift of love, but it was some way that because she was such a great present giver, it was just some way to get back to some place where she was a little more comfortable to a giver, not just the receiver, that it, even in the hospital, she needed to in some way get a little bit of her self back. And that was what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there were so many things about Nora that had to do with those roses, which was that it was always in life easier for her to give than to get a present, and it was so hard for us to ever find something that pleased her. So that I think that control was terribly important to her. So all those roses, I just kept coming back to them as this touchstone, which explained her.
Mm. Okay, on to something a little lighter. Quote, I don't care about the weather. I care only what the weather is going to do to my hair. In these two sentences, you've connected with the vast majority of American women. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is true. I tweet something called the Hair Report.
Mm-hmm.
And not every single day, but whenever it seems really necessary. because I think that's true. And so I'm always telling you whether, you know, whether it's, I think I had a sauna alert on the other day, or I'll have a frizz alert, or in it, if I'm traveling, I'll tell you what the weather is like for your hair in San Francisco or something. So, yeah, I mean, is there anything more important than hair? I mean, honestly.
All right. And another kind of fun issue. So, Delia, are you Jewish enough? Can we talk?
Oh, my gosh. This is so, I mean, this is a subject everybody is so uptight about that I just had to write something really funny about my adventures in religion. But I was on the Jewish book circuit, which is sponsored by the Jewish Book Council. And you have to try out to be on this. You have to be either a Jewish author or an author who's written on a Jewish subject. And I think, and so you have to compete with other authors to get chosen. And it's like the Jewish Hunger Games. So I'm on this circuit, and people just keep asking me all these questions. What kind of a Jew are you? You know, are you a book Jew? Are you a food Jew? I didn't even know these categories existed, really. And then, of course, I couldn't figure out. There's a lot of questions about how religious I was, and I'm not. I wasn't raised that way at all. My mother was actually fanatically against organized religion. She made many speeches about it. She used to say religion is the cause of all wars, which was not true then, but of course turns out to be true now. And of course, I converted to Christianity by accident twice in my life, so I really wanted to write about those stories too.
One thing you wrote, all siblings have different parents. I really chewed that around for a very long time. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, we're all born into our parents' marriage at a different time. And much as we, when we're parents, like to imagine that we treat our children differently, of course, that's absolutely impossible, because some children are the easy children, the one that you somehow totally connect to, and then there's the difficult child or the child that just frustrates you. And so these relationships in families, there is nobody that has the same parent. And I really had to consider that deeply when I wrote a really long, very, I think, painful piece about my mother, who was a really remarkable woman, a screenwriter, and a working woman when women just did not work outside the house at all. And she was raising us with this great sense of destiny, and all four of us sisters became writers because of my mother, really, and because of the genes, I suppose. But, you know, she, at night, she simply went to pieces. She drank and she raged. I had a day mom and a night mom, and I could never reconcile the two of them. And I really thought about that a lot because, of course, on her deathbed, she said to Nora, she said, "Take notes." And that became this myth in my family that it was such a great thing to say, and I always thought it was a rather cool, cold thing. But then she said to me, "I hope you never tell anyone what happens here." I mean, how could the messages be different? How different could that be?
Yeah.
So I really wrote an exploration of not just of what it was like to have her as a mother, but what it was like for me to have a mother like that, that I couldn't make sense of.
And in the book, you had something really humorous to say about your dad and his phone calls.
Oh, yes, my father. I wrote a piece called "If My Dad Could Tweet." My father just loved uproar. And we didn't call it that, but when he spent the last years of his life in the motion picture home, and the psychiatrist called me one day and he said, "Your father has a case of uproar." And I got so excited, I called all my sisters. I was so thrilled because we finally knew what it was. But he loved to get everybody upset. And he was sort of like Alec Baldwin, you know, how Alec Baldwin's always getting himself, somehow finds himself the center of attention. How did this ever happen to me, right?
Yes.
When he engineered it. So I'm always thinking about how, thank goodness, there was no tweeting when my father was alive, because he would have been on that thing, stirring up trouble I can't even imagine what it would be like. He loved to call the sisters and get us upset about the, he tried to get us jealous. He would always say, he never said hello, he never said goodbye, just like these short little blasts, just like tweets. Oh, your sister won the Pulitzer. Boom. I think, oh my God. So then I'd call my sister and congratulate her on something that hadn't happened. But yeah, my father was, he was really a character.
Hmm. Well, screenwriting, of course, is so prominent in your family, your parents, your sister, you. What does it take to be a great screenwriter?
Oh, a lot of perseverance, I think. I mean, it's very ruthless, ruthless business. It's nothing more magical than having a movie made. It's just so much fun. So many people go to work, and you see it come to life in three-dimensionally, and the actors and the costumes. But screenwriters are hired, and they are fired. They're like potato chips. People just throw them out, and they dispose of them very quickly. And I think you need a lot of, I mean, the great thing about collaborating with my sister, and we did about 5 or 6 movies. We did You've Got Mail and Michael and This Is My Life and Hanging Up, which was based on my novel. And the great thing was that Nora was quite fearsome. And working with her in Hollywood is like traveling around in an armored vehicle.
Mm.
And, of course, if we were in a meeting and she left, everyone would fall on me, telling me all the things they didn't have the nerve to tell her. Because even though I love to be fierce and I pine for fierce, I'm not really fierce.
Has writing about Nora brought you some peace about your loss?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I that's definitely true. I think it's one of the great gifts of writing is that when you write something, I mean, look, I wrote this book because I needed to, and I tried to make it as honest as I could, because why bother otherwise? And because honesty is what I'm really interested in. Honesty and laughter, I think. So I definitely got somewhere, and I got to a better place because of it. But, you know, Nora's in my heart, and she's always, she's with me all the time. But it's not as painful as it was before I wrote the book.
Hmm. Are you already at work on a new project?
Yes, I'm always working. I have a novel that I'm writing, and that will not be out for a while because I'm just beginning.
All right. Well, Delia, thank you so much for joining us today. I really loved your book. I stayed up till 2 a.m. reading it. Well, thanks, Delia.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye.